What's up, guys? StrictDriver101.com. Hopefully, I didn't just feedback. I think I just feedbacked. Oops. I'm sorry. So, guys, StrictDriver101.com. Big Ken here. So, what we're going to talk about now is the big trip to Quebec from Nebraska. So, I'm in the lovely brand new truck. I got brand new Sentry. And as I have had to restart where we left off because my truck was supposedly moving, apparently in circles at the terminal, because log department really knew what the fuck they were talking about. Thank you, log department. But anyway, where we left off was I had delivered the tight load delivery. Now, funny little side story, little highlight, is on that run going to Quebec, Canada, I had gotten, because I didn't take any breaks when I was with Andrew, I had gotten a bonus of $500, which is really not really a bonus. What they were basically doing was, if you didn't take that vacation, they were paying you for your first week. Because this is the part they don't tell you. When you become a certified qualified driver, you ain't getting no money. There's no money for sitting in, for sitting. So you got to get up and go. And even if you do get money, you only been in the hotel since you got off the truck. Usually that might be 2 or 3 days. So your check is going to be real low, right? And if you get, hopefully you can get a load if you can get your truck quick, right? So I got mine and I put it in the envelope to send off and I screwed up on the front and I said, damn, right? And I tear it up and then I go to write out the new envelope. And then I write out the new envelope and I go to look for the certificate for me to send in to get paid for the fact that I didn't take a vacation, which was $500 bonus. Oh, did you catch that I didn't take it out of the envelope I tore up? Did you catch that part? Did you see it? Did you notice I didn't do it? So I immediately got on the phone, called the department to see if I can get another certificate. After the lady fell on the floor laughing at my dumb ass, she told me, no, you can go ahead and tape it together and don't worry about it. I'll know it's coming. So I taped my certificate together because that's what you do when you're a rookie. You tear up $500. Now, after that, that was literally when I picked up the load. Pick up the load. It's a drop in the hook. I do the drop in the hook as I'm coming out. Guess what, guys? Guess what? I look at the trailer. The trailer has a bent rim. This is my first load, guys. I'm sitting there going, oh, God, no. No, 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 please. Because all I keep thinking about is I'm a rookie. I just picked this load up. It's got a bent rim. The one I dropped off also had a bent rim. All right, both of them did. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to get blamed for this. But I had to report it because it looked like it was going to go flat. The guy, it was no big deal. They changed it. Didn't even care. Nobody even asked me about it. They get bent rims out of that place all the time because of the way the scales are, which I didn't get that because I'm like, the scales are just flat. I didn't get what he was meant by that, but I just let it go. I was glad nobody was blaming me for it. So I got on the highway and I hit it out going towards Detroit. And that was funny because I have no bedding. I got my bedding from riding around with Andrew, but it's still pretty hot. And all I have is the summer bedding I really had, which was a sheet and a tiny blanket. It wasn't anything heavy duty. So I'm going out there. I'm riding around and basically, I'm riding around also on top of plastic because I'm an idiot and I should have took the plastic off my bed. I don't know why I didn't. So I'm sweating in my brand new truck and I'm already having problems with it because shift is not a problem. Going forward, not a problem. But this was the first year. It seemed like they had adjusted what they would call the, I don't know how to explain it. They adjusted the way the trucks rode. That was the beginning of them adjusting the way a truck, it used to be back in the day where you drove like a truck, it was stiff. It didn't lean into the turns as quite as much as trucks do today. And because Andrew's truck was a classic and it just felt like a classic. You're riding a classic like riding a Cadillac. Like you don't feel the road at all. But man, you're riding that Sentry. I went in the turn too tight and I was like, whoa, looked like I was finna fall on the ground. Centuries, those were great trucks. I wish they kept them around. Century, they let the, what took the place of the Century? I believe it was the Cascadia was supposedly taken. That's funny because now they're talking about replacing the Cascadia. But the Century was great. I love the Century. It's short nose, turned on a dime. And so anyway, I'm headed towards in my pretty Century. My pretty, it was blue, but it wasn't the typical Warner blue. It was kind of that shinier blue. I don't know what you would call it. It wasn't baby blue though. But anyway, oh, probably sea green blue, I guess, or sea, kind of a more of a sea green kind of blue. But anyway, I was headed towards Detroit. Have no idea how to time my load, by the way. So I do figure that part out. Then I get my map, right? Luckily, I bought a brand new one, which Andrew tried to steal when I left, which is some bullshit. That's another thing. Like, I literally put my map in my bag, then go look, and my map's not in my bag. It's sitting up on the, on his truck, and I grabbed it. I never brought that up when I left him. Probably should have said something about that. I think I was just happy to get out of the craziness with the psycho. Anyway, so we're headed towards Detroit. Everything's going fine. I'm not going to be able to stop at home. I'm going to have to continue out, go all the way to Quebec, and drop off. Now, understand there's two things happening here. I'm a rookie. I have no idea how to cross the border. Two, I left the yard. I left Nebraska. And I had no idea I was supposed to call border crossing. See, when you used to go across, I don't know how they do it now, over at Warner, back in the day, you were supposed to call border crossing to make sure you have all your paperwork. All eyes a dummy. So, big dummy just drives up to the border, right? And, well, I'm not driving up to the border. First of all, I don't even know how to get to the border, right? I don't even understand about brokers. I don't know anything about brokers. I don't know anything about getting across the bridge. I don't know shit. So, never went to Canada with Andrew. This is my first load, going to Quebec. So, not only that, well, technically back then, you were going to two countries because Quebec was its own country. I think that's still in place today. So, I get there. To the terminal. They say, so I call dispatch and I say, hey, how do I get across the bridge? Do I have to do something? She said, yeah, did you call border? And I said, nope. And I said, she says, oh, you were supposed to do that before the end. You know, that's what they're supposed to train you on. You're going to be going across the border 3-4 times a week on this dedicated account I had started on. And it was called Zone 7. I don't know what they call it today. Now, Zone 7 was great because it didn't take you, you didn't go far. But it was bad because you didn't make any money either. You know, it was not regional. It was no money. That's what it was. So anyway, I get on Zone 7 and I'm like, okay, I'll do this. So I'm on Zone 7. I'm checking out. I'm pulling up at I'm on Zone 7 and I'm pulling up at the Detroit truck stop. Now the Detroit truck stop used to be like almost like a Warner terminal. They used to own the back of that terminal. And that was their, in that little back area, they used to park all our trucks. And you could park your car back there all the time. I used to park there. It was great. But, of course, you know, being a rookie, first of all, I it's funny because, like, the first 2 years when you do this, when you start driving like that, I unloaded everything out of my truck for, like, the first 2 years till I realized I should just leave stuff in my truck that I don't care if it gets stolen. But, anyway, so I pull up into the Detroit truck stop. I go pull in the back because if you park in the front, you got to pay, so you got to pull in the back. I go pull in the back. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, let me go in here. They say that the thing you had to do was you had to go in, get your paperwork faxed. So I go fax paperwork. This is great because Warner's got an account with them, so all our faxes are free. All you got to do is sign your name. I do that. Then we got a shop there. Perfect, because every time you go across the border, you got to have your truck inspected. That is a pain in the ass on Zone 7, believe me. So I go get my truck inspected, boom, pull around, park it. All right, parked, everything's going good, and then I get to go across the border. Now here's where shit gets a problem. I've got to come off on Fort Street, and then I got to go into this special broker entrance and talk to the brokers to make sure the load cleared. remember, I'm a rookie, have no concept of what the fuck I'm doing right now. The one smart thing I did was I pulled up and I got all the diesel I needed because I feared I was going to need a lot of diesel today. So on the day I go around to the broker, by the way, I don't have any time to go home, and I literally live maybe 40 miles from the Detroit the truck stop. But I'm sitting there and I'm trying to figure out what is 4th Street. Because you got to come off on 4th Street. So I say, okay, I'm going to get up there. It's a broker place. It's going to be tons of trucks going, and they all going to turn at the same place because it's the border. Ain't I genius? That's the mind of a rookie driver, right? I don't need to know directions. I don't need to call ahead. I'm going to follow everybody else. All that worked superbly. You know that, right? Yeah, that was dumb. So I get up there. And as I come off of the exit, I can't remember what exit. I think it was at the 4th Street exit. First of all, I had to figure out where 4th Street was, which meant I'm driving in circles, right? Going back and forth off of the highway, trying to figure out where 4th Street is. Then I finally get on 4th Street, and I make the turn. And I'm going down 4th Street, and I'm like, okay, wherever the other trucks turn, that's where I'm going to turn. This is in Detroit, right? There are tons of different turns. A lot of guys back then, you could go to the free duty shop different ways. There were a couple different entrances. They would turn it off and go to free duty. So I'm like, oh, shit, now what do I do? Because I can see they're going to the truck stop there. That's the free duty place. Oh, shit. So now I don't know where the hell I'm going. So I keep looking. I'm driving. And basically, a few miles before you get to downtown. Well, I'm saying a few miles. It's probably not even a mile. Well, probably maybe it's a... maybe about 5 miles before you get to downtown, there is the broker entrance. A lot of you guys might know where that's at. At this point, I'm driving real slow because I'm getting closer and closer to downtown Detroit. And I'm like, I know I ain't supposed to be there. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking. And I'm getting closer and closer and closer. And then I look and I see a truck turn left. And I go, oh, yes, that's got to be it. And that was it. That was the entrance to the broker's office. So I turn in the broker's office and I go, all right, park the truck and go get ready to go inside and see the broker. Go inside and see the broker. Forgot that I was supposed to wait a certain amount of time, right? So I say, all right, maybe I can go in early. I go in. Back then we were using, I don't know who we were using. I want to say FedEx, but it wasn't FedEx. But anyway, this broker's office had all these young girls in it. And one older lady who was like the ring, you know, she was the head honcho. And because I came early, the numbers hadn't cleared yet. The PARs hadn't cleared yet. So she said, well, you got to fill out this form just in case. They want y'all to fill them out just in case anyway. So fill out this form. So I fill out the forms. I put the weight down. I put everything down. And then I get ready to leave. And I'm like, cool. Get ready to go on the bridge. Guess what happens, guys? I turn around. I go on the bridge. I'm looking at the thing. I don't understand that you're supposed to come out, go around to the fuel aisle and go through the free duty. This is how you got back on back then. Go through the free duty and then you go up onto the bridge. I didn't know that. So I'm literally turning in circles in the parking lots. and Homeland Security is looking at me like, oh, is that a terrorist? They're Jen. They're looking awful suspicious. And so he stops me and says, where the hell are you going? And I say, I'm looking for free duty. You go through that gate right there. God damn it. Don't just drive in circles. Read, motherfuckers. So I pull into the free duty shop, right? I mean, this is like a gate to the free duty. And then you got to wait on one of the people to come open the gate. Before you can even go through the gate, though, you've got to slide a card. And she's like, okay, your card ain't working? And I said, what card? And she's like, you got a gold card, right? And I'm like, oh, shit, I do got a gold card. And I reach in the thing they gave me that I kept all my cards in. I think it was an extra wallet I had. And, you know, I reach in there, I grab my gold card, and I slide it, and it opens up. And she said, yep, I'm glad you got that, because if you didn't, you need $51. She said, you got money to cross the bridge, right? And I said, huh? She said, "You got money to cross the bridge when you come back, right? You got it. You got the one that goes to America." This was, and I was like, "Ain't that the same car?" She said, "I'm not sure. Is it the same car?" Now she messing with me, by the way. Everybody sees the rookie on my face, right? But after that, though, a brother stopped and got $100. When I got across the border, I made sure I got me $100, and I read our book. I decided to finally use, not act like such a stupid rookie, and actually do some reading. And they told us, Warner said, that you need to have $100 to cross the border because you're a dummy. Back then, also in the, when you went over the bridge, they didn't take Visa, they didn't take MasterCard, they didn't take shit. The only thing they took was their own card. That was a pain in the ass back in the day. Today, I believe that's different. But I haven't crossed the border in a while, so I don't know. But anyway, so I finally get across the border. And I am completely confused, by the way, because now that I'm across the border and I go deliver, I'm getting ready to go deliver. I got to get on this highway called the 401. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I got to get on this highway, the 401. And all the trucks go out the same entrance over there in Canada. So you jet out on the highway, and you're on a, you know, regular street, literally in front of a school. And it feels like you are in the wrong place. Now, I read my map, and my map said get on Highway 1, and it's going to take me, not Highway 1, I forgot what the highway is. It's like a little, it's a highway that comes before the 401. And that highway, I jumped on. I jumped on that highway, and I said, I'm going to go to the 401. Now, this is a gigantic fucking mistake. The 401, all you got to do when you go to Canada is go straight. Okay, it's going to be different now because there's two bridges there. But back then, all you had to do was go straight, and you would hit the 401. Big-ass sign, easy as hell. Not my dumb ass. I start out going the wrong way, end up in an industrial area, in a neighborhood, drive through a neighborhood, right, get back on the freeway, then go the wrong way again, and still not finding the 401, get back off into a street, go back to the main highway that leads you to the 401, and I'm like, man, I'm back to the bridge in Canada. Should I go back to America because I don't know where the hell I'm going, or what should I do? So I get back on the main expressway that leads to the 401, and I say, all right, I'm gonna do the wrong thing this time. It didn't work for me before, but I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna follow and see where these trucks are going, right? Because you notice, that's pretty much my plan, right? You shouldn't do that. That is the wrong way to do anything. You should sit down and study your map, figure out where you need to go. But anyway, so I'm headed towards the 401, finally, going the right damn way. And then I hit the 401. And I realized all I had to really do was stay straight off the bridge, and I would have hit the 401. That's all you got to do. It's super easy. Super easy. I don't know why I thought you had to go right or left. I literally thought, okay, I got to go east. No, I went the wrong way. I got to go west. No, I went the wrong way. No, you idiot. You just got to go one direction. But anyway, hit the 401, and now I'm on the 401, and I'm on my way. That was its own nightmare, because guess what I did not do, Mr. Non-Trip Planner Rookie? Yeah, the rookie did not figure out where his next truck stop was going to be. The rookie did not call ahead to figure out where can he fuel in Canada. He did not look at his fuel list to even see if there was a place to fuel in Canada, which is something you should definitely do. Dumb rookie did not even know that in Canada back then, not necessarily, not today, but back then, Visa was not a debit card. It was a credit card. You could not use a Visa as a debit card in Canada. That's a shocker, isn't it? So I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just going to go get me some money. I got a charge. I can just go get some money. And nope. So I charged all the time I was there. I believe my bank gave me a fee for charging. That's why I was trying to avoid it and get cash. But I didn't know that you can't. So I don't want to spend my $100 because that might have to get me back across the border. And I am charging all my meals, because of course, rookie, dumb rookie, he ain't stopped bought no refrigerator, he ain't stopped bought no food, he ain't stopped and went to a Walmart, he ain't done a damn thing except be a good dumb rookie. Yeah, you know, that's what happens when your trainers have big money accounts. Like, all my trainers had money accounts. You guys heard the story of my trainers. We ran. We ran from one place to another. And they were home on the weekends, usually. So, you know, that's what I did. I didn't go to Walmart. I didn't learn about Walmart. I didn't learn about any of that. I knew how to ride, you know, ride all night and at 3 o'clock in the morning. that's what I learned. You know, I was good at shifting, you know. But no, I didn't have that basic understanding of how to spend a bunch of damn money. So I'm eating once a day at the buffet in Canada. I'm scared to eat any milk, right? And then the other part is I'm so stupid. I'm thinking all I got to do is find a pilot flying J. Well, guess what? Pilots and flying J's are not numerous in Canada. Over there, you're going to find more fifth wheels and Husky, right? And when I'm looking at them, I'm like, what the fuck? Is this a truck stop? I'm literally at one time, it's late. This is the first day, the first night I'm stopping there. It's late. I come off, and I'm looking for a truck stop. And I see a lot of trucks again. There go my dumb ass looking for trucks. I see a lot of trucks turn off at this place called the Fifth Wheel. So I turn off at the Fifth Wheel, hoping it's got parking. I am in the worst truck stop in Canada. Literally, it's like gigantic holes. It's horrible. It's horrible. It is literally, I'm driving and I got stuck. There wasn't no snow or anything. It's like it was just a deep hole. And it was awful. And I ended up stopping. I just made me a space and went to sleep. It's like, fuck, this is horrible. And that was it. That was my day. Now, had my dumbass had a truck stop guide like everybody should have, and that's paper and not just logs. By the way, the whole time I'm in Canada, when I call home, I am using my phone, my cell phone. Please understand, when you call home on your cell phone, that cost. Yeah, brother didn't know nothing about no roaming. Got home, my bill was $1,500. Let me repeat that. Got home, my bill was $1,500. Yes, brother, I'm talking dollars. $1,500 calling from Canada. Because I'm a smart rookie. Calling my company, sitting on hold with my company, right? Remember, this hold is back in the day with Warner. When they just started going to Canada, a lot of this stuff was not electronic. On hold, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. $1,500 cell phone bill. Boy, oh boy, life is a rookie. So anyway, I finally get to my first stop. I have to call for directions because, of course, being the dumb rookie I am, I didn't figure out that Canada was a French-speaking country. Did not understand any of that. Just went right over my head. When you go, Quebec was a French-speaking country. So when you go to Quebec, you go from west to east, right? All of a sudden, it's east and queest. Oh, no, I want to say quest and queest, something like that. And I'm sitting there going, oh, shit, what just happened? And all of a sudden, everything is in French. So you get off the truck stop, people don't speak English, they speak French. And now you're like, oh, shit. So I call in. And I call into the place I got to go. And I got to find them. I call these people on the phone. The first thing they do is start speaking French when I call. Oh, man. I'm dying. I feel like I'm dying. Everything is going wrong. By the way, luckily I have a lot of hours, right? And I almost turned off the 401. Pretty just a little highlight. I almost turned off the 401 three or four times because when you're on the 401, it changes a few times into other highways plus the 401. And the exits are like quick, you know, and I literally had to turn back around and get back on the 401 a few times. I believe I took the 401 all the way into Quebec. So when I get to Quebec, I call, the lady speaks nothing, no English. She gets in my, she's leaving work, and she finds me on the side of the highway, looking for the plant, pulled up at an industrial area, and she pulls her car up, and she starts helping me. She starts telling me, oh, let me tell you what it is, in French accent, oh, I guess Quebec accent, probably not a French accent, but she starts telling me, and then I'm like, I go to put the window down, because she's hanging off the side of the truck, and I'm really appreciating her help. And I pushed the window up, because I'm a rookie and I don't know my own brand new truck. So, Cecilia, what is wrong with you? No. And I'm like, no. I'm sorry. I pushed the wrong button. Oh, I'm just here to help you, okay? Jeez. Yes. It's not, you know, because when you put the window up and there's a little lady hanging on the side of your truck, she almost literally fell off the side of my truck. Because I'm so smart. Then, after that debacle, she told me how to get to her company. I pull up in her company. The good part is they have no grass. They have no grass because I can make turn. I can turn well. But remember, at this point, I have not backed up correctly at all. I haven't backed up correctly at all. I have not backed up correctly at any of the shippers. The one shipper I've been to, I didn't have to back up when I picked up the drop and hook. That was just big open lots, right? So I am scared as hell. I pull in, I go to shipping and receiving, I get ready to back up. Luckily, I'm thinking, okay, they don't have any grass. This is a good thing. All you got to do is pull as far up as you want to up on them rocks. Because to me, you got to remember, to other people, even though there's rocks there, you're not supposed to pull there. But to me, it was like, Jay, just pull. Just go up there. Hey, kitty. So I pull up there. I pull all the way on the rocks. Like, the truck is now shaped like an L. I pull all the way up on the rocks like a hill, right? So this truck is shaped like an L. The people have all stopped what they were doing inside the plant and come out to look at me. And so they're all looking at me. Now the pressure's on. I'm like, oh, shit, what am I doing wrong? Oh, man, this ain't number of rocks. What's the problem? Oh, I guess you ain't supposed to run these over, huh? So I back up. And boy, oh, boy, there's no other trailers there. And I'm swinging the truck back and forth and back and forth. I'm wrestling it. All I got to do is straight line back, but I'm panicked, man. And I'm swinging it left and right, and I get it in. Right? It's just a foot, well, 2 or 3 feet off on the right side. So then I go to correct it, right? I'm trying to remember training. Okay, you're supposed to turn in the direction that the vehicle has the problem. So that's what I do. I turn in that direction. So I take my 4 foot, 3 foot gap to a foot gap. Right, and I go pull forward, and the guy comes up and says, no. That is okay. That is good. That's right there. Don't move. Give me the keys. Give me the keys. I don't want you to move. Give me the keys. He said, no. You just stay in the truck. You give me the keys. You put the keys out. Give me the keys. I bring it back. Give me the paperwork, the keys. And he goes in and he locks that dog down and the people are making all hand gestures towards me. I probably single-handedly lost one of that account. And then the guy comes out with the paperwork and the keys, and he says, "Hey, you can do it, man. You're going to be okay. Maybe never come back here, but you're going to do it." and the lady, I guess she was the boss. She was just standing outside, just shaking her head. I just can't believe this. Oh my God! You can see it all in her face. Oh, man, I left there, and on the way back, everything seemed to be going good, so I stop at a truck stop, I send my load information, because I'm sending everything out of sync, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, right? Andrew took care of all the paperwork and shit. You know, when it came to the actual, that part, he was a shitty trainer, you know? But, so I'm trying to figure out the paperwork, what to put in, what not to put in, and I'm doing all that, and I was like, damn, I want something to drink, and so I jump out the truck. And I'm like, I hope they take this stupid Visa card, because I don't know what the hell these people are going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, so I jump out the truck. I leave the key in the truck. And literally, as I'm lock the door and I go to close it, I did not get a copy of my key yet. I know, I said, all the way from the terminal, I got to get a copy of this key. And they gave us free copies at the terminal. I could have got one. I passed 2 terminals to get here. And we had a small terminal in Canada, but I didn't know where it was. But anyway, I go there, I as I'm closing the truck, I'm going, no, because I forgot about the key, and literally I've already pushed forward. So as I say that, the door closes, and now I have to call to get my key out of my truck, and I am just sitting there going, how much else is going to go wrong on this first trip? So we've established I can't back up. I'm dependent on other truck traffic to get me towards all my destinations. And I have now locked my keys into my truck. This is a wonderful first trip, isn't it? That's right, people. I've done 10 years of this. All right, so don't get down. If you're in school, things are going wrong. This is how geniuses begin. So after that, I have to call AAA. Of course, I'm in Quebec. I have a AAA card, but they won't take that. The man wanted money. Now I got a brand new truck. He will not unlock my truck. He gives the shit to me to unlock the truck. So I do. I unlock the truck. So that's what I did. I unlocked my truck, and that was it. I unlocked my truck, and then I had to also pay him $50, which was just hilarious. Then I had to go get more Canadian money. And back then, like I said, I couldn't get any money from my card. So I had to get online, call the company and get an advance to come through in Canada, which I did. And I got me some money. And that was it. I came back home. I think I picked up a load, which was easy. It was an easier back. Because all there was a straight back, and it was an easy back. All I had to do was pull forward, back up, and I took it on back. And took it back to America, and that was the first load, guys. That was the first load. Nothing eventful happened on the way back. Just a lot of preparation. And the next time, then I finally got to go home for like 2 days before I had to come back out and park my car out there and started getting my stuff for the truck. No load went as bad as that load went ever again. You know, it's funny. Like, when I first, my keys were stuck in my truck, I called, I want to say, 3 or 4 of the Canadian locksmiths. 3 or 4 of them. And none of them would touch my truck because my truck was an 05. I want to say 05, but I don't think it was. It had to be an 05 or an 06. But literally, because it was so new, nobody wanted to touch it. Nobody wanted to deal with it because they were all scared they were going to get charged for something. So I called 3 or 4 places before AAA sent somebody out. That was my first load. That was the craziest shit. Yeah. And, you know, nothing else happened. That's it, guys, for this series of how I started in trucking, my first load. I'll talk about, you know what I'm probably going to talk about next? I might talk about my students, because I have had some weird students. Oh, sorry if you guys have turned this up sometimes, but I got mic problems, and I haven't gotten on the other mic yet. I'm waiting for it to come in. When it comes in, you guys will be the first one to know next week. But that's it, guys. TruckDriver101.com. Hope you enjoyed that.